The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
So now Ohio State's in the headlines, and I noticed the other day there's like 60 schools around the country where they've had anti-Israel protests. A lot of them in the Big Ten, by the way. Northwestern, USC, Nebraska, I think was one of them. Northwestern? Michigan, of course. Michigan's always on the cutting edge of this kind of lunacy. We had 21 people total now have been arrested on the Ohio State campus. Hannah L. Nemer, Yusef Munir. Well, that's appropriate, isn't it? M-U-N-I-R. Munir? I don't know. And Yusef is a third-year sociology student. Again, boy, way to invest your money in a degree that'll really pay off for you down the road, Yusef. And an activist for climate justice. What else can you waste your money in your life on? And Dr. Sumaya Hamadmad, a research scientist at OSU School of Medicine, specializing in ophthalmology and visual sciences. He was arrested yesterday. What is it like now that we finally have this on our doorstep, right? Maybe we're going to start hearing from Jewish students, Jewish professors, Jewish residents of areas in and around campus as to what it's like to be Jewish in this time and place. If you live in Victorian Village, you live in Clintonville, you live in the Arena District, you live in areas around campus, you live in the Brewery District, you live in and around campus, you want to live downtown, German Village. What's it like for you? Well, I spoke to a gentleman yesterday. I'm not going to tell you where he lives, but he lives close to campus, very close to campus. And he said his individual instance of harassment started on January the 7th, where he had an Israel flag displayed outside his home. It was taken. His home was vandalized by, he did not know in the beginning. Then later on, more ethnic intimidation. He called the police. And by the way, this gentleman has kept meticulous records of the Columbus police officers that have come to his home to investigate this. He has reached out to, I can't imagine, as he spoke to me, I talked to him for an hour yesterday. I cannot imagine that he has left any avenue unpursued to just get the ability to live his life in his neighborhood without being harassed. He said to me at one point, this was so sad. He said, I find myself questioning everything I do to determine if it's going to make my existence in my neighborhood more difficult. How would you like to live like that? You want to go to the store? You want to go outside and sit in the sunshine, you want to work in your yard. He's had vile things shouted at him from people through car windows. And I said, how do they know you're Jewish? He said, well, I had an Israeli flag displayed outside my home. It was taken. It was vandalized. He's purchased another one. He's afraid to put it up. He was asked by one of the agencies he reached out to, what are you doing to antagonize your neighbors? What are you doing to antagonize your neighbors? This is like the video we saw from Great Britain, where they wouldn't let a guy into a protest because the bobby said to him, well, you're obviously Jewish. I mean, we would not, and I'm stating the obvious here. Can you imagine if the targets of this kind of harassment were black or gay. Like, this gentleman told me that he was told by a law enforcement officer, well, we really can't do anything about this because there's no way to classify what's happening to you as a crime in the city of Columbus. That's interesting. That's interesting because I distinctly remember, and I'm not saying this behavior is at all good or, you know, anything at all. It's a crime, what I'm going to tell you, when someone went onto a porch, grabbed a LGBTQ flag and urinated on it, that's a crime. That's ethnic intimidation. I don't support the LGBTQ movement, but I also don't support violence toward people in that movement or intimidation of people who subscribe to that way of living. Why is intimidation of a Jew for being a Jew, for flying an Israeli flag, how is that not ethnic intimidation? One of the instances of harassment, this gentleman told me, occurred after a snowfall, and there was a clear path from his porch where harassment took place, vandalism was done, a clear path to the perpetrator's residence in the neighborhood. And he says he was told by police that they couldn't follow the footprints because it might incite more violence against him, more harassment of him. This is what it's like. This is what it's like right now. And I cannot believe for a second that this gentleman is the only one who is suffering through this. So what do these idiots want when they're protesting on campus? They're allowed to protest. But when you are told to disperse at 7:30 p.m. and you don't disperse, and then you form a human chain around the outer perimeter of the protest and won't let the police in or resist the police going in, then, well, I'll just say, I've seen videos from around the country of a professor who was doing the same thing at a campus, and a police officer took her to the ground, put her hands behind her back, and handcuffed her, and she kept saying, "I'm a professor. I'm a professor." Now, this is an interesting mindset. This is an interesting, interesting perspective she has. What is she saying when she says, "I'm a professor"? What she's saying is, I'm intellectually superior to you. Therefore, you have no right to arrest me because I'm allowed to do anything I want to do on this campus. Well, ma'am, you're not allowed to do anything you want to do on that campus. You must comply with the law. You fooled around and you found out because you got handcuffed, and I hope you spent a very uncomfortable overnight in jail. Do you notice a very common characteristic between these people protesting? They're wearing masks. You can always tell the bad guys because they're the one wearing masks. What are they afraid of outside? They're afraid of being recognized. That's what they're afraid of. They're not afraid of COVID. They're not afraid of whatever other cootie they think is going around. They're afraid of being recognized. So what do they want besides just to be civil disobedience fools? They are demanding, of course they are, that Ohio State and Columbia and others, I've heard this before, divest any interests in Israel. So all these universities have huge endowments. They invest their money. They grow their endowment. As their endowment goes up, do they lower their price to students? Of course not. That wouldn't be a good business model. Couldn't pay your football coach $10 million if you did that. Couldn't buy a safety from Alabama for $1.5 million if you did that. Problem is, with the divest from Israel thing, it's against the law in the state of Ohio. Ohio revised code prohibits universities from divesting any interest in Israel and prohibits adopting or adhering to a policy that requires divestment from Israel or with persons or entities associated with it. That comes directly from the spokesman for Ohio State, Ben Johnson. So what they want is not possible to be done without being in violation of the law, but they don't care about the law. They don't care about being in compliance with the law. We'll tell you what some campuses have done to contend with these protests in very creative ways next on The Bruce Hooley Show. So I'm a big believer in setting expectations and then holding people to those expectations, clearly delineating what you expect someone to do. And if they don't do it, holding them accountable. That is the approach of Ben Sasse, former U.S. Senator, now the president of the University of Florida. They started to congregate and protest at the University of Florida. And so they had university officials there hand out a sheet of paper. And right at the top, it has the University of Florida official logo, Division of Student Life. It says, allowable activities, speech, expressing viewpoints, holding signs in hands. Prohibited items and activities. No amplified sound. No bullhorns. Sorry. No demonstrations inside buildings. No littering. No camping. No sleeping. No blocking egress. No disruption. No threats. No violence. No weapons. And then it says at the bottom, consequences for noncompliance. So you set the expectation. Individuals found responsible for engaging in prohibited activities shall be trespassed from campus. In other words, helped out, helped off campus. Students will receive a 3-year suspension. Employees will be trespassed and separated from employment. Way to go, Ben Sasse. Good job. Now at Harvard, where they've allowed this nonsense to proliferate too long, this may have been an accident. It may not have been. I actually think, what's the word? Serendipity, when something happens and you didn't really plan it, but hey, it worked out great. Last night, an alert went out across the Harvard campus. Breaking news, sprinklers have been set off on students at the Harvard Liberated Zone for Gaza Solidarity. Some tents are flooded at 4 a.m. in 32-degree weather. You know, if I'm Ted Carter, I'm looking at that South Oval, and I'm thinking, you know, I think a grass is just not coming in thick enough. I think we need to water that bad boy. And I'd bring in the fire trucks, and I would spray the grass, not the students. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you get wet? Oh, well, you know, the South Oval is a place that is very beautiful and is a thoroughfare for campus. We just want to beautify it. And if you happen to get in the way of us watering the South Oval, then so be it. So be it. Now, not every school, of course, is handling this well. Here is what they've decided to do at USC, which is fold, give in. This is utterly egregious. They have at USC canceled graduation. Now, let's go back in the Bruce Hooley Show time machine to 2020, where if you graduated in 2020, 4 years ago, and you're not a slacker who goes to college and is unable to graduate in 4 years, you would now be ready to graduate college. In 2020, we very well know that a lot of high school graduates, probably most, were denied a public graduation ceremony. Oh, we had the drive-by graduations and wave and grab your diploma on the way out graduations because of COVID. Now these kids are in college and they've applied themselves and they are ready to graduate. And at USC, they were told yesterday in a campus-wide email that they will not be graduating because USC has decided to cancel graduation because it's just too dangerous with all the Palestinian protests. Here's a young lady who just found out she didn't get a high school graduation, and now she's not going to get a college graduation.
So USC just canceled our graduation. I have no words. Like, this is so, like, it's actually comical at this point. If you don't know, the seniors that are graduating college right now are the seniors that graduated in 2020, where we didn't have a high school graduation. and a lot of us had like drive-through fake graduations or no graduation at all. And now we are seniors about to graduate, getting ready for our first real graduation, and it just got canceled.
So how many more ways can we do wrong by these kids? How many more ways? We stole their high school, the best year of their high school experience, we stole from them. We are well on our way to, from young women like this, stealing things that give them fulfillment and encourage them to develop values that will serve them better in life, like delayed gratification, working toward a goal, uniting as a team. Now we're going to let boys play their sports, and we're going to let boys go in their bathrooms and do whatever they want to do. Now we're going to take their college graduation away from them. USC is not an easy school to get into. It's not a cheap school to go to. But because we've got a few hundred nut jobs, we're going to let them dictate to us what we can do. Am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. The reason I'm not surprised is because schools have long ago proved themselves to be cowards and activists more so than educators. And they're doing it more and more and more every day. The Columbia president, Nemet Shafik, is in the news. People are calling for her to resign. She's trying to split the baby here. She's trying to thread the needle. She's not pleasing anybody. I don't know if she should be dismissed for her actions here with the protests or not. What I know is she should be fired because she's a plagiarist. A plagiarist. She has written one paper that has been published. And if you're in academia, like getting a paper published is like, it's what you do. Like that's how you get to become a university president. But remember, Claudine Gay at Harvard hadn't had a single paper published by anyone. And when Chris Rufo started looking into Claudine Gay's academic credentials, he found out they were bogus. They were phony. They were plagiarized. Guess what they found out about Nemet Shafik? Here's the one paper she's had published. I'll read you just a quick sentence from it. While data remain a problem, the situation is much improved, and this paper takes a first step at systematic analysis of what data are available. Now, let me read you a paper from 1992. And the sentence is essentially the same. The relationship between economic growth and environmental quality has been a source of great controversy. I can't get to the rest of the paper. Wait a minute. Here we are. I didn't page forward. Here's where she lifted it. While data remain a problem, the situation is much improved, and this paper takes a first step at systematic analysis of what data are available. It's word for word, and there's more. The same is true at UCLA, where the dean of their, wait for it, DEI program has been found to have lifted thousands of words from her dissertation that she got an advanced degree from the University of Virginia for, thousands of words from 10 other authors, four of whom she never cited. Rufo and his team at City Journal made UCLA aware of this earlier in the week. There has been no response from UCLA about this, and she remains in her position.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.